are listening to the Fundamentalist Podcast.
Until the light takes us, am I right, Bog?
Oui.
Hello, one and all, and welcome back into the Fundamentalists Podcast, where heavy metal is the law and court is always in session. I'm your host, Dual Guest. On this episode of the podcast, we have reviews for the new Departure Chandelier LP, Satan Soldier of Fortune, as well as a review for At the Plates' food-themed Mellow Death masterpiece, Omnivore. We're also going to be talking about new singles from Aborted, Holder, Slime Lord, Lord Dying, and Judas Priest. All this plus what we've been listening to on the Fundamentalists Podcast. Richard Donahue, thanks for joining, sir. How are you?
Great as usual. Day 19 of sobriety, feeling better. And that's pretty cool to have to review this sober. It's been an interesting turn of events. But yeah, feeling all right. Going to keep it up. See how I feel.
No reason to keep ruminating on sobriety. We need to give people a reason to live, and sobriety is not one of those things. So let's focus on the heavy metal, sir. Let's start off with what we've been listening to before we get into the smorgasbord of new material that we're going to be talking about on this episode. I'll let you kick things off, sir. What have you been listening to?
All right. Well, I had some personal betrayals at work recently. It's pretty much pissed me off. So, I went to one of my favorites when I was in such moods that went to the old school death metal greatness that is Deicide. So I started off with their first masterpiece, their self-titled from 90. If you want to call it one of the best death metal records of all time, I would totally see it. I mean, Lunatics of God's Creation, Dead by Dawn, Blasphemian, I mean, just great shit. Even the dual, like, growl and high-pitched vocals that Glenn was doing this record was pretty unique for the time. Honestly, not a lot of bands were doing stuff of that nature. And shit still rules. And then I went to their third record, one of my personal favorites, Once Upon the Cross. Still holds up, still a fucking banger. The title track, When Satan Rules His World, and They Are the Children of the Underworld, still catchy and brutal as fucking ever. And past month or so, I've been finding myself going back to to their first, We Want to Get Off the Road, We're Under Contract, so we're to shit up two records. And that would be their Incinerate Him record, which gets a lot of flack. And I'll admit, it's not the most inspired Deicide record. I would say it's very mid, but it's pretty more mid tempo. And I don't know, it's just this catchiness that I really enjoy. The opening track, Bible Basher, is great. Standing in the Flames and Halls of Worship, you know, like Worship. Funny. But it's definitely satanic parody. It's not as serious as the first couple records, but I enjoyed it a lot. And if you know, ever want to give one of those lesser DSI records a second listen or a revisit, I definitely recommend Incinerate Him, of course, the early classics. And from there, I went to probably my favorite newer black metal band, Miss Therming. So please come to the US. Really like to fucking see y'all. Their last record, Med Homery, the first record heard by the band, fucking rules still. Favorite song be the title track and the closer, Aftaka, assuming I'm pronouncing that correctly. Just really fantastic, melodic, catchy black metal that has its own unique vibe, and which you don't see a lot in modern black metal. So a big fan of that. And finally, the newest Outer Heaven record. I saw them recently with Horrendous this past December in Worcester, and they played a lot off this album, Infinite Psychic Depth. Songs like Soul Remnants, Pillars of Dust, Rolling Stone / DMT, and Palisade Chambers, just groovy, heavy, catchy, everything you want, some good death metal. And that does it for what I've been listening to as a recent. What about yourself, Duel?
So I've been listening to a lot here recently. So my copy of USBM, A Revolution in Identity, book by Daniel Lake, just finally came in the mail for me. So I've been reading a lot about a lot of these early influential United States black metal bands. So as usual, when I read like these essentially heavy metal history books, I try to go back or listen to at least one album from each of the bands that they talk about, because like basically each chapter focuses on a band. So I've been doing a lot of USBM here recently. So starting off with Pro Fanatitas de Dominatia from Pro Fanatica, came out on Hell's Headbangers Records in 2007. Dare I say, this is one of the more accessible Pro Fanatica records, because let's keep in mind, one of their records is literally features no guitar, no bass. It's just the recorded sound of like an explosion looped over and over, because he didn't have anybody. Yeah, didn't have anybody to play the instruments. So talking about adding a little industrial tinge, the Optimist would say, and just what the fuck is this, everyone else would say. Anyway, this record, though, as quote unquote accessible as it is still an unrelenting piece of US black metal. Another little interesting tidbit of insight from the book is just how many USBM artists kind of disregard or outright revile the European sound of black metal with yes. like the synths, the shrieky vocals, the Satan in the woods type shit. They hate on them for this finesse that they talk about the bands having. It's too pretty. They don't hit hard. And so they always point to bands like Possessed or early Morbid Angel as being the true black metal sound. Just unrelenting tremolo picking, hard hitting blast beats, and pure satanic subject matter. And to it, Pro Fanaticus, Pro Fanatitas de Dominatia is that, and then some from start to finish. Yeah, from track one, Master of Man Absolute, all the way through track nine, Them Who Dwell in Heaven, it's unrelenting. However, it's interesting to note that possibly the most interesting track on the album is when they do slow it down just a bit, which is Betrayal of the Lamb. That being said, it is a really fun listen from start to finish. If you'd like some pissed off, aggressive USBM, then Pro Fanatica is a pretty good choice. However, if maybe Pro Fanatica is not your choice and you want a different brand of pissed off United States black metal, I would point you in the direction of this next record called Inferno of Sacred Destruction from Black Witchery. This came out in September 2010 on Osmos Productions, and holy shit, I guess we're almost crossing the path into war metal here. You've got demonic entities slaughtering nuns being crucified on a black and white hand-drawn cover.
Oh, yeah.
Red band logo on the back. It's like it crosses all the T's. And much like Pro Fanatica, it's nothing but sheer brutality. There are 10 tracks, three of them are instrumentals, and the whole album is still under 25 minutes.
Fuck yeah, so, love it.
Definitely does not fuck around. I would say it lends itself to multiple listens, because I listen to it multiple times, but it is unrelenting. So maybe the average listener, after they listen to it once, will need a little bit of a palate cleanse. But for me, I totally fucking enjoyed it. Black Witchery's Inferno of Sacred Destruction. Also, we spoke about Vargrave on the Blackest of the Black podcast, as well as last week on what we've been listening to. The member of Vargrave, I believe he's also in this band War Moon Lord, or at least he's definitely signed to the exact same label. They have an EP, a split EP, actually, that came out in 2020 called Pure Cold Impurity. Signed, it's from Wolfspell Records. They split it with Volturium. The War Moon Lord part of this EP is absolutely sick. Ancient Death's Crown, Victory of Irreverent Might, Magi et Sange, and The Morning Star's Descent are just chef's kiss of moody, atmospheric black metal. Dubious political opinions of the members aside, this is a pretty cool piece of black metal. And
for a lot of stuff about that band, War Moon Lord.
Yes, yeah, absolutely fantastic. Beautiful, melancholic. Great use of keys, synths, really a highlight of the genre. But if you like your artist squeaky clean without even a hint of controversy, steer clear. This ain't the band for you. I also got to hear a brand new record, one of the first new releases that came out this year. It's from this band called Boundless Chaos. Their new record, Sinister Upheaval, just came out on Friday. And it's a really fun slab of death thrash, kind of pizza-y at times, but it's also pretty heavy. So if it gets a little too cheesy for you at times, the pants slipping a little too far into the high top sneakers, don't worry, that won't last long. And the heaviness will come back. This is put out on Dying Victims Productions. Really killer riffs here. Not a huge fan of the vocal style. It gets a little pizza at times, I guess you could say. But this band is, if there is a criticism outside of the pizza-ness, it's kind of caught between two minds of what exactly they want to be. But the variety is fun, so I'll give them credit for that. Also, more USBM, and this is actually one of my favorite finds so far. Absu's third full-length album, The Third Storm of Cithral, came out in 1997 from Osmos Productions. Holy shit.
Absu's the shit, dude.
One of the finest pieces of USBM from the 1990s that I can think of.
Yeah.
9 tracks, 37 minutes long. Infinitely re-listenable. Every single track here, even the intros and shit, are so much fun to listen to. The high-pitched screeches, reminiscent of early Tom Araya Slayer, but pushed to a new level of heaviness and intensity. Really nice production sound for the time period in which this record was produced. I can't wait to listen to not only this album again, but to check out more Absu. The Third Storm of Cithral. Check that shit out. I also discovered this new band called Temple of the Fuzz Witch last couple of weeks. This band started off as your typical like fuzzy, fuzzed out doom metal band. But recently, like back in 2022, they put out a single called A Call to Pray, in which they started to really add these necro black metal sound to their totally fuzzed out doom metal. And now they're back with a new single called Ashes, which will be featured on their upcoming full length entitled Apotheosis. So if you like your doom metal with a little bit of black metal and a whole hell of a lot of fuzzy distortion, Temple of the Fuzz Witch out of Detroit, Michigan, I think might have the formula for you. Not done yet. Back in 2021, 1914 put out a fantastic record called Where Fear and Weapons Meet. It was on my top 10 albums of the year that year, and for damn good reason. FN380 ACP-19074, which kicks off the record to track number 2, all the way through War Out, the instrumental. This album takes no prisoners, even if it takes a little while to get to the end. 11 tracks, over an hour of music, but it's pure epic death metal, a little bit of doomy influence there, all centered around the catastrophe that was World War One.
The greatest war, or so I was told.
The greatest war, yeah, let me tell you. Epic from start to finish, heart-wrenching. The samples of like historical broadcasts being put in there as well are really good touch. Yeah. Out on Napalm Records. If you've never given 1914 a chance, you should do so, because that shit is cool. And finally, at least the last non-single thing that I've been listening to is a total surprise for me, but goddamn, I'm so happy to share this with you. This band comes to us from San Diego, California. It's a black and death metal band called Weargh, W-E-A-R-G. They have one EP, one 4-song EP from 2017 called Hayden War Metal. 4 tracks, 13 minutes, and the first track is kind of an instrumental, so it's really only 3 tracks. Holy shit. This is a cage fight of a listen. Unrelenting from start to finish in just pure badassness. Whereas the other bands that I mentioned earlier that were unrelenting are just, you know, downpicking and blast beats, this one has a little bit more dynamics going on, more of a groove, especially track number 3, Bismore. Oh man, it's 3 minutes and 48 seconds. From 2 minutes 55 seconds till 3 minutes 48 seconds, you are going to be bobbing your head, guaranteed. going to be walking around your house like a fucking caged tiger ready to attack whatever is in front of you. This EP totally gets you in the mood to do whatever the fuck you want to do. It's the type of album you get into a scrap with and then smiles back at you with a bloody smile, ready to do it all over again. Such a fun black and death metal release. I love it. I'm really sad, I guess, that this band really only put out this EP and I guess was done. They're an independent band and they haven't put out anything in, I guess, damn near 7 years. So maybe this was it. But if this is it, and this is the only bit of music that we get from them, it's a damn good EP to put out. Hayden War Metal from Werg. Check it out. Especially track 3, Bismore. Also, I was listening to the 3 new singles from Eson from his upcoming self-titled release that releases on February 16th. However, I'm not going to talk about that here because we're going to talk about those on the next episode. And that concludes what I've been listening to and therefore concludes what we have been listening to. What have you been listening to, dear listener? Please share it with us by emailing us at thefundamentalistpodcast@gmail.com. You can also let us know on our Spotify Q&A, or you can hit us up on our newly revitalized Instagram page and by extension, the Facebook page, although we do check that one less often because Facebook's a boomer hellhole now. It's not even called Facebook anymore. It's Meta now, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, all right, cool. That's enough about Meta and the Zuckerverse. Let's move on into the new metal that we are going to be discussing on today's episode. Let's talk about with your single, more Atmoshcore nonsense from you. The slime lord. This new slime lord that you're big into.
The Beckoning Bell, yes.
Yes. Slime Lord's The Beckoning Bell single from their upcoming album. What's it called, Richard?
This was a goddamn mouthful as well. The new album is going to be entitled...
Oh, my God. Chytridomia Sciosis Relinquished?
Yes. This will be their debut album on 20 Bucks Spin called Chytridomycosis Relinquished. God fucking damn, boys.
Chytridomycosis Relinquished. The opening single, The Beckoning Bell, the first track. Tell us about it.
Yes, where to go with that. I was actually introduced. This is another pick from my boy Paul. This turns on Moonlight Sorcery Worm, a bunch of great shit that I now love. And he turned me on to their Moss Contamination EP from 2021, which I really enjoyed. And in 2022, they dropped a EP called The Insurmountable Peril, which is all a 2-track EP, 10 minutes long. One's got an intro song, and the real song is called Death of the Vibe, which is really the killer. But this is be their first full length, first proper, quote unquote, major label release. And the production definitely has a big step up. The bass is really in the front of the mix, which I very much enjoy. So it's a lot more chaotic, I would say, a little faster. Their early shit's a little on the slower side, very much in the super death doom side. I think this one is still definitely that vein, but they have to kick the speed up some and lots of cool tempo changes, especially like the middle section of the song with some really killer guitar playing that very badass.
Obviously the listeners here can't see the album art, but if you look at it, you can tell this band gets a little trippy at times, a little psychedelic in their compositions.
Yes.
And that definitely bleeds through here. There's a lot of dissonance going on here, too. A lot of tappy taps on the fretboard, which kind of adds to the overall, I guess, chaos at times that's going on in this single. It's got this typical, like I was giving Richard some shit about this single earlier, which might betray some of my thoughts on it. But the vocalist, for the most part, does the overly saturated, cavernous death metal vocals thing. That's a really popular thing to do in death metal. And that's my least favorite part of this track. However, everything else is done pretty well. A little chaotic, a little dissonant, but that's kind of what you're hoping for in the world of death metal mostly these days. There's this part, I guess, around the 3-minute part where like the rhythm is doing this really hard stop-start while there is this really killer solo going on in the background. Mm-hmm. And the track's about 7 minutes. And I guess that around that part, about 3 minutes, so approaching the halfway mark is when it really started to, I guess, grab me. Overall, though, the song kind of ebbs and flows as far as how well it kept my attention. You listened to previous stuff of theirs. Would you say this is more indicative of their previous material? Is this a little bit more expansive, dissonant, and psychedelic than their previous stuff? Or is this more in line with the material that you've already heard?
I would say this is everyone's step up. As I said, I think it's a little more faster. It's a little more chaotic, a little more tempo change, which I think is to their best. Much like Worm did, the earlier shit is kind of on the slower side. Then with Forever Glade, they guys stepped out with the solos, the tempo changes. So also their logos are actually kind of similar too. And they're now on the same label. So Slime Lord, Worm Tour, anybody? You make this happen?
Overall, would you give this a thumbs up or a thumbs down, sir?
Very much thumbs up. Very excited to hear some more tunes off it and pre-order it as soon. It's just a really killer vinyl variant. It's on $20 spin for it. Nice yellow and green one, too, have my eye on.
I'll give it a thumbs up as well. My qualms with the vocalist aside, there is a lot going on here. There is a lot to like, especially if you like your death metal, you know, kind of chaotic and really, really layered and just a tad bit trippy. Then Slime Lord's new single, The Beckoning Bell, is for you. Tongue Twister album title aside.
Yeah.
Let's keep it in the realm of death metal moving forward. Let's talk about Death Cult, the latest single from Aborted. Now, Richard was talking mad shit about this single for no reason. For no reason.
Sex and metal, dude.
This is a groovy piece of death metal from a band that's really good at making you bob your head despite their over the top level of heaviness and just unhinged song structures at times. Richard, give me your opening thoughts for Death Cult from Aborted.
Overproduced fucking Windex riffs, overproduced fucking drums, that chugga chugga middle section with the vocalist from Despised Icon. Not really a fan of. I like some of the early Despised Icon shit, but keep the shit in Despised Icon. But then again, that's Aborted the past 10 years, so it has been kind of catered to that deathcore audience, bringing them on tour, doing like the cartoony, like band tees and shit like that, doing guest spots on the record. So it's not terrible, but compare like Strychnine 213 and the first record, you know, I prefer that style of Aborted.
For some reason, deathcore kind of borrowed from the hip hop and rap scene this idea of features being a huge part of the release. And, you know, obviously features happen on regular heavy metal releases too. You'll often get like guest solos or like guest vocals on stuff. Like Trevor Strand was on the latest Cannon and Fever EP or two before, the Yankee Division. And it's a fucking amazing feature. So I'm not going to hate on any guest spots. Regardless of what your thoughts on Despised Icon may be, I do want to do have a bit of a bone to pick when you say overproduced. Just because it sounds good, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It definitely sounds better, cleaner than previous Aborted releases. But I don't think it's like a horror movie where you have like the grit and the dirt of like the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and then you have the big budget kind of intentional grime of like a Rob Zombie movie where it just seems like they're trying too hard. I don't think that's necessarily the case here. Just because it sounds, the fact that it sounds good, I think actually helps it out a little bit. The chugga chugga breakdown, if you want to think it's a little death corey, that's fine, but Aborted has kind of always flirted with that, and that's never really dampened your fandom in Aborted in my time knowing you, sir. And that's approaching over a decade now, so.
Yeah, well, I guess I got like the midsection. Like, the first shit's very kind of grindcore-y. They had a horse amps or such, the first record, which is great. Fairly off the top of my head. But then they kind of started doing like the carcass, like melodic thing, like on Slaughter and Apparatus. And
that's also been a hallmark of their sound. They've always had that melodic streak in them.
Yeah,
and I think that's partly why they stand out in their kind of grindy genre. They have this ability to be greater than most of their peers that are just making this disgusting grindcore.
It's an all right single. I don't know. I just really like their early shit better. You know, maybe there's better songs. The singles for you should be hit or miss. Also, some bands too. So I'll get the whole thing listed when it comes out. We'll probably review it and hopefully there's a better track. So
I give it a thumbs up personally.
I give it a thumbs down personally. So.
The son of a bitch.
Haters gonna hate.
Yeah, you can say that again.
Sip of my hater is.
Let's move on to possibly the most interesting single that we're going to be talking about. At least the one that took me the most by surprise. Maybe not necessarily the best, but the one that took me most by the surprise. And that is The Universe Is Weeping from Lord Dying. There's a lot going on here on this single, from the very melancholic slide guitar intro that sounds like something you might hear off a Wayfarer record, that goes into this proggy stoner doom, stoner rock riff, all the way leading out through the a cappella female vocals at the end.
The vocals at the end of the song, yeah.
There's a lot going on here, and there's some really fun driving riffs as well. Richard, tell me what you thought about The Universe Is Weeping.
This is actually my first experience with Lord Dying since made their debut Relapse record. I heard the single or two. I was actually supposed to see them, like, it's at Siberian New Orleans, like in 2016, open up for Weed Eater, and I missed it. We saw Author of Punisher. It's weird. The guy with the whole mechanical avant-garde, I guess, wasn't my cup of tea. But that being said, this single is definitely interesting. Like you said, it's very progressive, heavy, very well produced, a lot going on. Though I would say it kind of feels like an intro to an album more than like a proper song, if that makes sense.
Well, that makes sense because it is the first track off their upcoming record, Clandestine Transcendence. Which actually, I shouldn't say upcoming. It actually released Friday. We're recording this on a Sunday. So we'll talk about the new album on the next episode.
But I did enjoy it, though. But yeah, it kind of feels more like the start of something great instead of like a song with its own character.
Yeah, it's definitely got a lot going on. I get what you mean about it feeling a little bit like an intro track, but at the same time, it packs a lot in here. There's harsh vocals, there's clean vocals, there's driving like progressive riffs. There's also heavier riffs as well, and then even the acoustic slide guitar. If the rest of the record is packed with as much variety, and not just variety for variety's sake, but a variety that is performed and executed as well as it is here on the single, The Universe Is Weeping, then Clandestine Transcendence might just be one of the best records we hear in 2024. Now, for me, this is my very first exposure to Lord Dying whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I'd never really heard anything else from them before. I think you mentioned they used to be signed to Relapse, you said?
Yeah.
Now they're signed to MNRK Heavy. Like I said, the record released on January 19th, so you all can check out this record by the time you can hear this episode of the podcast, if you haven't already. So you could look forward for our review of Clandestine Transcendence next episode. Thumbs up for me. Big thumbs up. Big fan of this.
I know they have some thumbs up as well. There's a lot of good shit here. So I hope, you know, the rest of the record is as good as this here. Maybe a little more, get more character, more feels like a song. Yes. Good shit here. Thumbs up.
So another record that is due to release in the first part of this year is Invincible Shield from heavy metal gods, Judas Priest. They just released the third single off this record entitled Crown of Horns. And it sees the band just still at the top of their game. Their latest release before this, Firepower, was fantastic a couple of years ago. And the band just is continuing their hot streak right now. You might look back and see other bands, legacy metal acts, you know, like Iron Maiden, where there's clearly a little bit of diminishing returns, even if their stuff is still solid. But Judas Priest is still at the top of their game right now, even without KK Downing. This is pretty cool. Crown of Horns is a super, super catchy version of Judas Priest here. Rob Halford sounds a little bit more aged, a little bit more wise in his lyrics, as opposed to speaking about spread eagle against the wall, you're well equipped to take it all, that you might have heard on albums like Defenders of the Faith. And maybe there is some of that more raw, unbridled sexual energy that you have come to know and love from Judas Priest that will feature on this record. But this one's a little bit more somber, a little bit more, like I said, more of like a wisdom, an old uncle grabbing you by the shoulder and talking to you while they talk about being the kings of heavy metal. Heavy is the crown of horns.
Yes.
Richard, what did you think about this single?
This is great. This is classic. Fucking mid-tempo Judas Priest, like car song. You're windows down, you're just riding down the highway, letting this shit play. I mean, I'm the biggest one, humongous Priest fan. Probably, you know, the Priest Maiden debate. I'm Priest all the fucking way. All the cheese and turbo, Port of Entry, and all that shit aside. Fucking love it. I think it's great. They went back with the other single as well, Trial by Fire, which is really killer too, and a Panic Attack, which is far superior to that shitty ass fucking Dream Theater song. That the whole Panic Attack's one of the best songs ever. Shut the fuck up. It is not. But it's awesome. This surprised me because Firepower is great. It's like, it's been like 4 or 5 years since that record. Like, are they on the top that put some of that equal quality? And so far, yes.
Yeah, I think they are. And we'll get our answer. We'll get our answer on March 8th. Like you said, classic mid-tempo Judas Priest. It's got that heaviness. Rob Halford still sounds fucking fantastic here. And the hooks, man, this song can be on the radio. It probably should be on the radio. It's probably better than 95% of anything else you're fucking hearing on the radio these days. Crown of Horns, two thumbs, way, way up. Way, way up.
I concur. Two thumbs through the fucking roof. Great shit.
Yes. Can't wait for Invincible Shield on March 8th.
Yes.
Also, super looking forward to seeing Priest for the very first time live later on that month, where hopefully I'll get to hear Crown of Horns and a whole lot of other cuts off this record, as well as some classics I'm hoping for. Although, to be honest, like a lot of these bands, like when I saw Maiden for the first time last year, they played a lot of new shit, like from like their last couple records. And it's fine.
Like, long, it's like 10-minute songs with like 5 million fucking chords. Yeah, it's not progressive because you make a long song, read a chorus. It's not, it would like 5 million guitar solos don't sound the same. I'm sorry. It's not progressive, guy. I hate to break to you, Steve. Put the Queensrÿche records down. Put them down, Steve. Put them down.
Yeah. I mean, it's still like, I got to say, I get to say I've seen Iron Maiden now. However, would I have liked it if they had packed it more with a lot more of their classic shit? Yes. It's like, since U2's a cool record, guys, and everything, but you didn't need to make fucking 6 songs off that record into the set list. Like, what the fuck? You could have slipped Power Slave in there. Like, what the fuck? Come on, guys.
They're playing Priest. I mean, Baden's playing here in Worcester in August at the arena there. I might go.
Have you seen him before? Ridiculous.
No, I saw Priest back in 09, last tour of KK, which was really cool. And it's the where they did British Steel start to finish, then like a Grace hit set after that.
Oh,
it was really fucking awesome. Yeah.
Sounds like an amazing show.
So, it was a great show. And no, I've never seen Maiden though. So I think they're doing like one of their, because they've been doing like the Back in Time.
Yes.
The Back in Time. I think they're doing that where they're playing a lot off of the Blade Runner themed record. Fuck me.
Somewhere in Time?
Yes, that Somewhere in Time. Yeah. I'm not familiar with that record, to be honest. I know the first three. I heard it's a great album. I just never listened to that one personally.
It's good. So, I mean, Maiden's unfuckwithable in a lot of their records.
Yeah.
Anyway, Judas Priest, Invincible Shield. Yes. It's going to be great. Crown of Horns. We both give two thumbs way up. Let's finish off the singles section with the latest from Holder, Hearken the End. This is the second single that Holder have released from their upcoming album entitled Verses in Oath. It'll be released February 9th on 20 Buckspin Records. And if these first two singles are any indication, this album, I think, is really going to put Holder on the map. Hearken the End is this really fantastically paced and composed piece of black metal. Very traditional, I guess, in its sense. It knows just when to use the synths. It knows just when to put the metal pedal to the metal, because there's some rather mid-tempo parts of the song. There's some rather moody parts of the song. And then when the synths hit, you finally get like 30 seconds of the full-on blast beat and the harmonized tremolo riffs and the soaring black metal vocals that you're used to in this style. And when it's all coming together and hitting at full volume, you can almost picture, envision, if you will, a band hitting its stride. And I think that's exactly what's happening here. Richard, what are your thoughts on the single?
I enjoyed it a lot. I mean, you kind of took it away myself. You know, it does a little bit of everything. Like the it has all the black and all the like the tremolo picking stuff. It has some really nice, like clean vocals in the background that kind of really add to the atmosphere and everything. And it's really good stuff, because I remember we reviewed their last EP like a year or so ago.
Yeah, the Eternal Fanfare.
Yes, and that was very good as well. So this kind of continues from there, picks back up, and very much enjoy the song. So very excited to see what they're like live. I see them on March 10th with Worm, Necrofire, and Devil Master.
I remember our boy Bogovich being less than impressed when he saw them open for Panopticon at True Fest, True Brewing Fest a couple of years ago. But I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing this band live for the first time whenever they come over here to Europe. They do a really good version of traditional black metal with nice atmospheric elements. And as I stated previously, they know when to use it. They know when to push the right buttons. It's not overly long. It's not like some 15, 20 minute track like some bands that I know and love are putting out these days. At 7 minutes, it still doesn't feel like it overstays its welcome. It's just long enough to do what it needs to do without getting old and overstaying its welcome. Hearken the End. I think this might be the record that really, really launches Holder, not only in the world of black metal, but just into the consciousness of the heavy metal universe as a whole. We'll let you know what we think of Verses and Oath when it releases on February 9th. Thumbs up from me.
Thumbs up. I enjoyed it, so can't wait to hear the whole record and see what the hoopla is about them live. That'll make or break any fan, so we shall see.
Just looking on Encyclopedia Metallum, they already have all of the track lengths. This one at 7 minutes and 12 seconds is by far the longest. They'll have a song that's 5 minutes, 44 seconds, and another one that's 4 minutes and 38 seconds. And then after that, pretty much everything is just around or a little over 4 minutes. It's going to be 10 tracks, 40 minutes and 26 seconds. It's going to be a very easy record to go back and listen to. Let's move on.
I said that's about the perfect black metal out length, about 40 to 45 minutes, somewhere in there. Anything after that could get a little iffy.
Speaking of iffy, themed bands get a lot of stick in the world of heavy metal because I think a lot of people wrongfully assume that if you have a theme, you're a joke or you're a parody band. This is an issue that for sure has plagued bands like Death Clock or Beelzebub before. And I am 100% sure that it has plagued At the Plates, this band from Reston, Virginia, whose new record, Omnivore, we're about to review here on the podcast. Now, at first glance, you might assume that this record is going to be nothing but empty calories. You look at the track listing and it's all puns or plays on other melodic death metal classics mixed in with their culinary theme. You got stuff like Terminal Filet Disease, Punish My Waistline, Roast Well 47, Open Buffet Surgery, Incarnated Syrup Abused, Into Everlasting Friar, and so on and so on. However, from the very first track with their Cutlets Heel Marinade all the way through Northern Freets, this 47-minute runtime takes you on a not only a humorous journey, but a really fun one as well. And it's not just a vehicle to get to one the next food joke. There's some really great melodic death metal going on here. And while they may wear their influences on their sleeve just a little bit, and you can usually tell, depending on which song, what the song title is, which band they are paying homage to, I guess you could say, it's still done with enough reverence and enough creativity and originality that it's not just pure pastiche. Richard, what did you think of Omnivore from At the Plates?
At first I thought, what the fuck with all the parodies and with all the play on words and shit. So at first I was very put off this record. That's honestly one reason why a band like Singuizobog I fucking hate, because it was a fucking joke. Yeah! I take Death Ball very fucking serious, so this shit annoys the fuck out of me. But look past that, actually, gave it a proper listen. It took a song or two, but it eventually started winning me over, started to crack a smile and really enjoy it, much to my chagrin. But honestly, a band this really reminded me of was honestly Arsis, especially with the vocals, the guitar play.
That's high fucking praise, sir. Arsis?
Yeah. Right, of Arsis, almost the vocals of Israel as well remind me of Jeff Walker of Karks as well. Definitely got that. But some really good melodic. I would say it's way more melodic death metal than death metal. Like, there's some death metal elements there. I'd say overall, it's definitely a melodic death metal album.
No, 100%. This is like they took a huge book, a huge page out of the book of At the Gates.
Oh, well, I mean, At the fucking Plates. And even the almost Opeth Heritage-esque album art, which was a big turnoff because that was definitely a turning point in my fandom of Opeth. And for a lot of people, honestly, I feel that. Probably feel that way as well. But surprised me a lot. I very much enjoyed a lot more than I fucking expected.
There's some sick leads on here, and there's some fantastic riffs, too, and some heaviness. Like Terminal Filet Disease, Punish My Waistline, and Kitchen Gone are like, I was riding the metro line here in Prague, and I found myself just bobbing my head like, is this record making me a fan? Like, I thought this was a joke. And I know that joke or themed bands can slay. Like, Death Clock Records are great, typically. But this band isn't a joke. This band isn't a parody. This band is a themed band. And for some reason, food is not considered by most to be a serious topic of which you can theme your band around. But for some reason, Satan or vampirism is. I mean, at least food is real. We all eat. We all like food. So honestly, this, in a more sane world, this would be a completely legitimate theme for a band. Especially when it's being pulled off as well as it is here. This band is currently independent. I'm not sure how much longer they will be. I've been seeing that this record is getting some serious buzz. And I think for really good reason. This is a really good record. It's not perfect. It's not the second coming of At the Gates, no matter what the name of the band is trying to tell you. But it is some very competent melodic death metal. And while most people might view this as purely empty calories, I think we can all agree a nice cheat meal is great for everyone in the end. So while you might have wanted to 86 this record as soon as you saw it, it's not quite dead on arrival. I say we chef to At the Plates, and I'm going back for seconds. I'm going to give Omnivores a 3.6.
Yes, as I said, I really enjoy this record a lot. Favorites with opening track with their Cutlass, Hill Marinate, Punished by Waistline, Incarnated Syrup Abuse, nice yes. Carcass pun there.
Incarnated Syrup Abuse and Terminal Filet Disease, I think, are two of my favorites here.
Northern Frights.
Yes.
That was more like a black, melodic black metal tinge. Actually, it's one underpiece where it was a little bit of melodic black metal, especially with the kind of screechy-ish vocals and playing. I have no idea what pun on Northern Frights is, but I just reckon a lot, and I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Omnivore from At the Plates gets a 7.1 for the very first review of 2024 on the Fundamentalist podcast. Looking forward to hearing more from these boys in the future. Finally, to close out this episode of the Fundamentalist podcast,
motherfucking banger here.
We bring you a review for one of my most anticipated records of 2024. And that is the return of Departure Chandelier. Departure Chandelier is a really interesting project in the world of black metal. They are a Napoleonic rule themed band. Based all around, mostly Napoleon, but there's a lot of French history that's also in there. Their last full-length record was entitled Antichrist Rise to Power. Came out in 2019, and it was one of my favorite records of that year. Departure Chandelier is a very minimalist black metal band. However, the whole is definitely greater than the sum of its parts, considering the fact that especially on records like Antichrist Rise to Power, sometimes riffs aren't even played in time on purpose. And they really are just kind of straightforward punky riffs with a little or tremolo riffs with this perfectly accentuated angelic choral synth that for some reason just perfectly blends together to create this miasma to go along with this guy's vocals. Anyway, they are back with their latest release entitled Satan, Soldier of Fortune. And God damn, does it not disappoint. 8 tracks, 3 of them instrumentals, 37 minutes long, all fucking killer, no filler. From the very first intro, Napoleonic Battlefield Cleanup, you just get transported into the world. A battle is ending. Napoleon is going to be coronated as emperor. There are broken lives, dead bodies, and grave robbers everywhere, just trying to make their way in this new world about to be built. And then by the time track 2, by way of torchlight from Parliament to the catacombs,
yes,
just pure dripping miasma. Personality, and it's really just like punky riffs, like it's just power chords like being slid, maybe some tremolo stuff, but that choral synth that I mentioned earlier is downright danceable at times, and it gives this band such a unique personality that I didn't know if they'd be able to replicate it like they did on Antichrist Rise to Power, but they might have even surpassed it at times here. Richard, give me your opening takes on Satan, Soldier of Fortune from Departure Chandelier.
It's fucking great. My favorite album of 2024 so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going on Blackest of the Black 2024. Surprise, definitely. Spoiler. And yeah, keep going.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed the last record a lot. But this one, it's that... Well, it's the intro of the first real song, by way of Torchlight from Parliament to Catacombs. That keyboard part is so fucking catchy, dude. It sticks. Yeah. It's like a total earworm. Like, goddamn. And it's cult and minimalistic, but still listenable. Like, it's at that perfect balance of you can get underground cult points, but still sound, quote unquote, good for that style that some guy that, or gal or that list of 20 bucks spin style bands could enjoy this as well. Why to capture a good middle ground between both those worlds, I would say.
They also do a really good job of being heavy when they want to be. Like the next track, Hard as a Coffin Nail, while also being very catchy, also delivers a little bit more of a punch to the face. I mean, tell me you're not going to be walking around thinking to yourself, hard as a coffin nail for the rest of the week. Also, the track right after that, Accipitride, which is a bird, like a hawkish type bird. I definitely had to look this up myself. Like each track that comes afterward is more magnificent than the last. But the one thing that ties it all together, that makes this band's personality, like their secret weapon, their secret sauce, that choral synth. It's so black metal. It's so dark wave. It's so punk. It's so perfect. That's all I can say. Perfect. Down to the last minute detail, as Homelander would say. Also, big fan of the well-placed interludes. Like it's like every Departure Chandelier album starts off with an intro and ends with an outro, but there's also this nice little interlude called Grave Robert's Prophet off the Fallen of Both Sides. Really painting you a picture there. I guess you could say maybe this album's a little bit front-loaded. All my favorite tracks are in the very beginning by way of Torchlight from Parliament to the Catacombs, Hard as a Coffin Nail, and Accipitride. That's not to haste on track 6, Hail Dark Forces, which is fucking cool, as well as the title track, Satan, Soldier of Fortune. Just that the first 3 real tracks are god tier of this lo-fi black metal sound that Departure Chandelier has been able to craft for themselves. Just I'm in awe of just how simple, really, this whole thing is, but how well it all blends together.
I would actually take the opposite angle, whereas I love the first real song, but another song I really enjoy it, but I just had that synth part from the first song in my head till Hail Dark Force and the title track. But not to, yeah, those other songs are badass too, but you know, I know something about that song, but Hail Dark Force is a great title track. Is a perfect closure to the record. Real song closure than the outro.
Yeah. But and like it very rarely gets like blast beaty, but it doesn't need to. Like the you're like enraptured from start to finish, and really just like the pace, the tone, the personality that this band is able to create. It paints a picture for you, and it's grim, it's dirty, it's infinitely re-listenable.
Also, the vocals I'd call out. The vocals, they're not really screechy. They're somewhat screechy, but very intelligible. Very, mm-hmm. I would say, early black metal like that, as well as that charm. And so not just the pure, like, you know, Blaze the Northern Sky Dark Throne shit, which is screeching shit. So really, it, you know, helps the with the lyrics, you know, what the theme they're going for. You have to understand the lyrics and paint a mental picture and take you to different places.
Yes. Scarecrow in The Dark Knight said, "I said my dread would take you places. I just never said they'd be places you wanted to go. Departure Chandelier's Satan Soldier of Fortune is a place you want to fucking go."
Goddamn right.
4.7.
I do 4.5.
Satan Soldier of Fortune from Departure Chandelier gets a 9.2. Early shots have been fired in the Album of the Year Wars. You can definitely assume that it's going to be there right until the end. And spoiler alert, this is a fucking shoo-in for top 10 albums of the year. It's not awful. I'm getting real vibes of like Hell Rippers, Grim Warlocks, and Withered Hags like last year. Like, it's so good. And even though it's released in January, I don't think there's going to be 10 more records released this year that are going to be better than this one, that are going to stick in my head like this one. That record just released, I think, last Monday or maybe the Monday before it. I've already listened to it 7 times, and it's only available on Bandcamp right now. I guess maybe YouTube as well. Hopefully they'll upload it to Spotify, but man, I already can't wait to go back and listen to it again. So good.
I got two listens into it because I'm busy with work and shit, but yeah, this definitely be on a constant rotation throughout the year. Definitely look at some Departure Chandelier patches as well into that shit.
Oh, yes. I think there's actually some patches, I think, from Temporal Dimension from Antichrist Rise to Power. There's only a few left, so I actually need to buy mine like as soon as I get off air.
Yeah, you should have dropped. Paris was a successful drop ever, which is really cool. I bought a couple from the past year. Really good quality shit.
Yeah, if there's one thing you can say for Pull the Plug patches, is there's this renaissance in the patch game. There's a lot of patch producers putting out some quality material. Good stuff.
Hell awaits patch as well. They're based out of Germany. I got a Sick Dismember and Rose Times of Grace patch as well. So check them out as well. I mean, nice. Cool. Like a patch themed episode, some of a bonus shit. I'd do that actually.
A metal merch theme episode would probably be pretty fun. We could probably do that. But next episode, we're going to be talking about those new Eson singles as well as The Lord Dying full length. Let us know what you want us to talk about, listeners, or tell us what you thought of this episode of the reviews. Maybe send us your own review. Give us your own scores for some of the singles or LPs that we released today. Once again, by sending your thoughts to the Fundamentalist Podcast at gmail.com on our Spotify page or on our Instagram/meta accounts at the Fundamentalist Podcast. We'd love to fucking hear from you. With that being said, Richard Donahue, any last words?
Thanks for the continued support, and we will be back with a vengeance this year and keep on keeping on.
Well said, sir. For Richard Donahue, I am Dual Guest. Thank you for listening to the Fundamentalist Podcast. We will speak with you again soon.